I welcome everyone who's listening online today. My name is Ed Travers. I'm the teaching pastor here at LifePoint in Westerville. Grateful to have you listening in. I was thinking back to when the pandemic started and how that really changed our culture. I don't know if you're like me, but I remember listening on the news to these reports in these different countries about this virus that was coming out, and it was really dangerous and deadly, and that had spread to the United States. And then out of nowhere, it went from kind of out there to everything across the country shut down. And now, you know, there's a lot of fear and trepidation about, you know, this virus. And so everything shuts down. And that's when the world discovered Tiger King. That is a show that came out on Netflix that I think the only reason it became popular is because nobody had anything to do, right? So they start watching the show, and I am familiar with it. What I will say about it is there are two characters on the show, the guy named Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. Even if you've not watched the show, you've probably heard or seen memes about these characters. And I think the reason these characters are and kind of made the mainstream is because they're so ridiculous. They're so narcissistic, and they clash against each other. And now Joe is currently in jail because he tried to put out a murder for hire against Carol Baskin. I mean, it's just crazy. And when you watch the show, you realize these two might be the most narcissistic, self-absorbed people in the whole world. And that's why they clash. Because when they come in contact with each other, their narcissism just, you know, they can't coexist. I bring it up. We're in this series called Guardrails. And in this series, what we're talking about is you don't have to choose between rules and a relationship. That God gives us the law, the Ten Commandments, to show really his nature, that he is completely holy and completely perfect. And it also shows our need for a savior. Because when we look a deeper look into the Ten Commandments, we realize that you and I can't even complete them perfectly. And so we need God. And they're really given to us like guardrails to protect us from going off into the ditches. And, you know, some people kind of look at the Ten Commandments and think, you know, I'm going to be perfect and everyone else should be perfect. And other people look at them and go, hey, you know, God gives us grace. We don't really need the rules anymore. But neither are true. That God gave us these guardrails to drive us towards a relationship with him in perfect freedom. In the Ten Commandments, Jesus spoke about that all of the law is summed up in this statement that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. All the Ten Commandments are broken into two different groups, love God and love people. And we see that in the first four, that you know there's only one God. Don't make anything out to be a God. Don't dishonor his name. Don't dishonor his Sabbath. Trust in God with your life. That is really the first four, love God. And the other is now we start to talk about how we interact with other people and how that interaction with other people impacts our relationship with God. So of course we wouldn't murder, we wouldn't disobey our parents, we wouldn't commit adultery, those things that are true. And God gives us some laws that really speak to this issue between Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. These two really self-absorbed people. Now, I bring it up because even though you may not know someone like them, we all know someone who's a little self-absorbed. Like, we all know people who maybe are restrained. They don't go to that level of the Tiger King level, but they have that about them where they can be so self-absorbed. You get around them, and every story leads back to them. Every time you tell something, they have to one-up you, and they always take the credit for everything, and, you know, there's always drama around them, and, you know, you leave feeling drained when you're around these people. What is it that causes that? What is it that causes that? And the reality is, for us, the truth is that at our worst, everyone can be a little self-absorbed. I mean, isn't it true that when you're stressed out, you're more likely to be short with people? Isn't it true that when you're not feeling well, you kind of, you know, it's hard for you to consider and serve other people when you're not feeling well? When you're under the gun or when you're under pressure, it's just difficult. And it's really easy to start really becoming self-focused in those moments. I think nobody wants to be that person. And it doesn't matter where you're at. You don't even have to be a religious person to say, you know what, I don't want to be a self-absorbed person. So how do you keep from being that person? Well, these next two commandments we're going to look at today really speak to that and I think are helpful. So let's take a second and pray and hope that, you know, my prayer is going to be that God would speak to us through these two commandments and help us to understand that, you know, there needs to be a restraint so that we don't become self-absorbed. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit, that you would use this time that we're joining together just to speak to us about what it means about having a heart like you and having a heart like your son. And we ask that in your son's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at the commandments today, and we're going to look at two of them. But to kind of track along with me, and you can go to lpguest.com to follow along in the listening notes if you like. But the first line I want you to pick up on is this, is that the world is made up of givers and takers. The world is made up of givers and takers. And at this point in the Ten Commandments, Jesus has already turned to God has turned to that part where Jesus spoke about how, you know, we're supposed to love others as ourselves. And here's what it says in verse 15. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. Now, this is obvious that, you know, you don't take from someone else and for yourself if it doesn't belong to you, right? You don't take what belongs to someone else for yourself. This is pretty obvious, and I think most of us understand, you know, we don't need to be doing breaking and entering. We can't be doing bank heists, right? And, you know, you don't just take. You don't shoplift. You don't do that, right? We all know that. So it's really easy. You cross this off the list, check, I'm good, I'm not going to steal, right? Well, this also would include any type of stealing, like cheating on your taxes, borrowing from somebody without returning, you know, purposely keeping something that doesn't belong to you. This includes your employer's time. You know, if you're at work and your employee or your employer is paying you to be there and you're doing a lot of personal stuff or you're just not working very hard, in essence, you're stealing from your employer. Employers who don't pay the right wages, you know, and try to hold back, that's stealing. Not paying back your debts. See, there's all kinds of ways to steal. I was walking out of service last week, and we were at the end of the second service, and I was out in the lobby, and I had an interaction. We were at Guest Central, and at Guest Central, there on top of Guest Central was a Rubik's Cube. You remember these? If you're my generation, then you remember when these came out. And they just became a phenomena, and everyone had to have a Rubik's Cube. And man, this little toy became something that every household owned. I mean, it was just super popular. Well, anyway, the Rubik's Cube is sitting up on the table, and this little four-year-old girl, who's cute as a button, comes out, and she looks. I'm standing there, and my wife is there, and my daughter's there, and some other people. And she points up to the Rubik's Cube, and she goes, "Is that yours?" I said, "No." She goes, "Do you know whose it is?" And I'm thinking, no, probably some kid put it up here on the desk. Like, I have no idea how this Rubik's Cube got up on the Guest Central desk. And so she looks at it, and so she takes it, and she starts to put it in her pocket. I said, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Well, it's not yours." I said, "That's right." She goes, "Finders keepers." And she started to put it down her coat. This little four-year-old cute little girl was going to steal the Rubik's Cube. So I looked over at mom. I said, "Hey, mom, I think you need to step in here." And, you know, it was so funny. It was so cute. The thing is, though, you don't have to teach kids, right? It's in us to want to take what doesn't belong to us, right? That's without restraint. You know, it's super cute in a four-year-old, and you just, you know, you laugh about it. But as we get to be adults, we learn, you know, we're not going to go out and do breaking and entering and you know, do a bank heist and rob a bank. Like, we don't do those things because it's not in our best interest. But what adults do is we become takers. We become takers. We look for situations that are going to benefit us, and then we manipulate situations in order to get what we want. Attention, acclaim. We want, you know, to get things that we want. We manipulate people. We become takers. You know, Ephesians 4:28, I want to read this to you. It's an interesting passage. It's Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's giving them some directives on how to operate within the church now. And in verse 28 of chapter 4, it says this: "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Well, the first thing you have to notice is that the thief is invited into the kingdom of God. So anyone who's out there who's literally believes that, you know, that they don't deserve God, this is exactly what the gospel means. That even people like the thief, they can be forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. They can come close to God. They can be in relationship with God, even though they have broken the law. Because everyone's broken the law. And there's different levels that we all say in our mind of what we think makes us far from God. But Paul is saying, no, the thief belongs in the kingdom of God because of the cross. But because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross, now I want the thief to labor, to work hard. Why? The end of that says, so that he may have something to share with anyone who's in need. The very nature of the kingdom of God is that we would take on the look or the heart of Christ. And what is it? What's the heart of Christ? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. God the Father says he loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You see, the heart of God is a giver. And it's almost expected that the thief would get a job. Why? So that he has something to share. And that's the way it's supposed to be with all of us, that God wants us to be givers. And you see, the world is full of givers and takers. What I've noticed about givers is that givers are great listeners. They're just really good at listening and listening to your details and understanding where you're at. And they ask you about them later. Hey, how are you doing with that? I remember when you said this. Like, givers are great listeners. They sacrifice their time. They sacrifice with generosity things that are important to them. Givers are great at inviting people into their lives. They're great at inviting people into the church, and they're great at inviting people into the gospel. I mean, think about it. The number one reason I've heard that people don't invite others to church or don't tell people about Jesus is because they're afraid of what they will think of them. They're afraid of getting into conflict. Really is completely self-focused. Givers aren't concerned with themselves, they're concerned with others and their need for the Lord, their need for community. Givers leave others feeling refreshed. And don't you and I know, don't we know people in our life that when we're around them, we just feel drained? There's certain people that just have a way of just sucking the life out of you. The world is made up of givers and takers. And the Lord is saying, don't be a taker. Don't steal from other people for your own benefit. Yeah, I was thinking another thing about the pandemic. Of course, you know, when it first started, everyone kind of, you know, circled the wagons and you know, created their own, you know, like little safe zone, right? And what happened out of that is it started to emerge is a lot of people got to work from home. They created remote working, and which is great because it's a super way to balance your work-home life and have, you know, better time with your family. But what also has happened is for a lot of those people, it really kind of centers you in on just what your circle is involved in, your environment, and it kind of steals from being involved in the environment at work. I mean, we are called, believers are called to be, you know, to be a light amongst a dark generation, to be, you know, the salt that brings flavor into the world. And sometimes we're so concerned with just being in our circle that we're afraid to kind of get out of that because we've created a nice insulated little bubble for ourselves. So what happens if that's true of you? What happens if you're thinking, man, maybe I've become a little too self-absorbed. I've been taking from others. I've just been worried about myself. What happens? Can I just say to you, invite someone to church. Invite someone to church. This is a help for you. That there are people out there who need to find community and they need to find Jesus. And we as believers, our job is to represent Jesus Christ. And inviting people to church is a great way to break out of that self-focused view. Can I say another one? Serve on a team. Serve on a life team. It's a great reminder every other week to serve on some team, whether it's in kids or whether it's on the financial team or whether it's down in you know, in connections or security or the prayer team or on students. Like, find a way to serve. Why? Because it reminds you that it's not all about you. Well, there's another commandment that we're going to look at. It's found in verse 16. Of Exodus chapter 20, here's what it says. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, this is pretty obvious that you're not supposed to tell a lie, right? You're not supposed to be dishonest and specifically give wrongful testimony in court, right? You don't want to be that person. But this would include really any type of dishonesty. Now, here's the thing. I have known some people who are storytellers, right? I've known people who are chronic liars. That when you're around them, they're always telling you some fantastic story and it always gets better. And sometimes it changes over time. I have known people like that, but I've never known anyone who took it to the extreme until a few years ago. We had a guy in our church who, he had a lot of baggage. To say he grew up with a lot of dysfunction, and that baggage that he carried with him spilled out on other people, and he got married. And you know, I met this couple, and I had to spend a lot of time over at their house dealing with the baggage that he had that kept spilling out on her. This guy was not a very honest guy. He would say things that just weren't true, and as a result, she didn't trust him. And you know, we did everything we could. We sent him to counseling and spent lots of time and different pastors working with him, trying everything we could to help them have a healthy, functioning relationship. But dishonesty destroys relationships. And this person, the wife, was like, I'm out. I can no longer do this. This is too toxic. I need to be out of here. And so the guy faked a cancer diagnosis. A terminal cancer diagnosis. He started going to doctors, and when he came back, he would say a story that wasn't true, and then he gained a lot of sympathy, and it was all trying to gain sympathy from his wife and from other people to make him feel safe and secured and cared about. Now, that's extreme. That's extreme. I don't know anyone else in my lifetime I've met exactly like that person. But the root of the guy's problem I've seen everywhere, even in myself. Deep down, no one wants to feel unsafe, and we all want to feel loved. And when we're confronted with something we've done wrong, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't do that. Or, you know, we kind of downplay it. And so we're desperate to, like, find protection. And people who are usually telling stories are desperate for attention, so they have affirmation. It's in us. It's maybe more restrained than the extreme example I used, but the reality is all of us have this need, and that's why. That's why we don't tell the truth. And honestly, I believe this. We have trouble telling ourselves the truth. We make up in our minds what we believe is true. And if anyone comes to us about ourselves and kind of, you know, tells us something different, our natural reaction is defensiveness. Oh, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're the problem. Why? Because we can't tell ourselves the truth. In Matthew 15, 18, Jesus is having this conversation amongst some religious leaders and amongst some people who are kind of far from God. And the question comes up about character things. And this is what Jesus said. He said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And that's the line I want you to remember, is that what comes out of the mouth reveals what is inside us. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's really in us. And the truth is, sin has broken all of us. There are desires were made right in God, but sin has corrupted all those desires. So our desire for affirmation, our desire for safety, our desire to be held in high esteem, those were all natural desires, but sin makes those things corrupted, and that's where dishonesty comes from. So here's what happens, is that we use our words, our mouth, to control the way that other people view us. And it's all driven by fear. Think about this. These are things that I've noticed is exaggerated bragging. You know, you ever meet somebody and they want to give you their resume? You know, and they want to let you know all the things that they've done. And they kind of, you know, take liberty, exaggerated bragging. Taking complete credit for something that wasn't completely yours. You ever have a coworker that you're working on something together and, you know, they get a compliment and they say thank you without citing, you know, other people? Making up details in a story to make yourself look better. Leaving out details to make sure that people see you a certain way. I think little white lies. Sometimes not telling someone the truth because you want to protect yourself. These are all things that come out of our mouth. And they're just self-focused. One of the things I've noticed over the last decade, because social media has really changed our culture, right? Is it's really easy to look at someone else's life on social media and kind of draw conclusions based on what you're seeing, right? They always have the perfect house, right? They've just redone their kitchen and it looks beautiful. Or they're on a great vacation, right? Their kids got straight A's in school, or they're excelling in sports or arts. You know, they have this, you know, this great idea that God's given them, or, you know, they have this, I mean, it's just that you sell everyone the perfect version of yourself on social media. And it's tempting to create a false narrative about your own life. It's tempting to do that, to only want to share those things. Can I say that even that is kind of self-focused? That when we look at other people's lives, we compare them to our own. We're just worried about how our life looks, or because it doesn't look like theirs. Or we're tempted, you know, to try to tear them down to make our life look better. Can I tell you something I think would be helpful? Is use social media to compliment people. You know, just look to compliment others and to care about them. And, you know, for us, no matter whether you're in social media or not, the opportunity always exists to use our words to build people up. We can use our words not to tear anyone down, but to just help people to thrive. And sometimes noticing something that they're doing in character or noticing their life and being able to say, hey, look, I noticed that about you. Hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, that's exciting. Like being a giver with our words. And here's the thing. Nobody wants to be that person. Nobody wants to be the person that's really kind of self-absorbed. But there's something in us deep down that wants something to protect for ourselves. We want a better life. You know how you know if you're struggling in this? Think about your prayer life, if you're a praying person. And when you think about your prayer life, what is the first thing you pray about, right? If you're always praying about your stuff, your situation, your health, your wealth, your kids, your situation, if you're always into you and very little praying about what God wants, then it might be a sign that you're drifting towards self-absorption. You know, what did Jesus say? Pray about God first. Our God in heaven. Honored is his name. We start with honoring God. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. You see, there's a big universe and we're not the center of it. We just aren't. And if you have 7 billion people in the world all kind of at the center of their own universe, what kind of world does that create? Because they're all competing to be the center of the universe. And the reality is only God is at the center of the universe. This is all his. He made it. And we function better when we recognize that he's at the center and not us. And in order to not be that person, then we need something to counteract the sin that's in us, that's broken us, that makes us want to take from others, makes us want to be dishonest with others and even with ourselves. That's why we need the cross. You see, when he died on the cross, Jesus, he actually was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at that moment. And he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he laid his life down like a servant to set an example for us, yes, but mostly to take on our sin. It said, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He took on our sin on the cross. He paid the penalty for it. He showed us that he laid down his life. And when we recognize that and we receive that into our life, in the same way, he's teaching us to look like him, to lay down our lives for others. And the self-absorption is the exact opposite of that. It's about taking our life and holding it tight. And it's all about what I want, my life. And we don't want to hurt other people, sure, because it's not our best interest. But it can be all about us. And our heart is always going to gravitate to that. We need something that will change that from the inside out. And that's the gospel. That's why we need the cross. Wherever you're at, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you that if you notice something in your life, will you tell yourself the truth today? Will you allow the truth to penetrate your heart? If you're starting to drift towards self-absorption, will you allow the truth of God and let that part of your flesh be crucified in the cross today? What that means is that when you talk to God, you say, God, I recognize this is true and I agree it's wrong and I submit it to you, God. I'm asking you for forgiveness. Let's do that today. Ask him for the power to live out the gospel in your life. And if you're listening in and you've never actually received the gospel, you've heard about the cross, but you've never actually laid down your life, it's time. Do you really want to be the center of your story or do you want to be part of God's big story? And you can do that today in prayer by submitting your life to Christ. Let's take a second to pray. Father, I thank you for being a God that cares about us, that you love us, and that you are the creator. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Lord, I also know that in my own heart, and I'm sure the people who are listening, we have a tendency to want to be in the center place of the universe. We want to have our best life. God, I pray that when we do those things and it goes off the rails, that we're sinning against you. And God, I pray you forgive us. God, help us by your cross to lay down our lives, to consider others as more valuable than even ourselves. God, give us the power to do that. If you're listening in and you've never made a decision to follow Christ, here's what you do. You simply say to God, God, I believe in you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, and I believe that he rose again from the grave. Then you call out to him. It says, anyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's what you do. You say, Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sin? I'm sorry, and I want to turn towards you to be the leader of my life. Jesus, will you save me from sin, and will you lead me? Help me to follow you. Just tell him that. You need to know that if you made that decision, it's that simple step of faith is what Jesus requires. He wasn't looking for you to be perfect. He was looking for your heart to turn towards his. God, I pray for anyone who's in that position, who's learning even right now what it means to submit their heart to you. I pray, God, you would meet them there and help them to grow. We ask that in your son's holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening in. I just want to let you know, for all of our online regular attenders and members, I want to thank you for your giving. One of the things that you can do, if you're looking, you can go to lpguest.com or you can go to our website. You can give through the app. But there are different ways you can find to give. It's through your generosity that we've been able to continue to do this online service. It also allows us not only to operate locally with our local missions, but even with our international missions. So I just want to thank you for that. If you're listening in for the first time, if you go to lpguest.com and you click on the guest information button, it'll take you about a minute, but fill out that you listened in today. There are four different ministries that our entire church support. And if you choose one of those by clicking that box, we'll do a $5 donation on your behalf to that ministry. Just as a way to say thanks for listening in, but also a way to let us know what's happening, the kind of impact that LifePoint's making and where we should invest our support and resources. Thank you so much for listening in. Until next week, God bless.